It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger, of course. And today we're featuring Orsi Family Vineyards. Always a pleasure to see them and taste their great wines. And Dan, we got... You brought like something from the 1800s from your cellar? Or
no, 1980. Just a little. But then there's also this 94 Tom Eddy Cabernet, which is... Now, Tom Eddy's been making wine for how many years has your brother been making wine?
He got out of Mike? Davis in 75.
We need a microphone.
Okay. He got out of Davis in 1975.
All right, hold on one sec. There we
okay,
go.
Okay, you're up. Okay.
Got out of Davis in 75, started making wine at Winty Vineyards.
Winty?
Yeah, as a cellar rat.
Right.
And it has had his own label since 1991.
Tom Eddy is the winemaker who had a tasting the other day that I could not attend because I was too busy. But Rusty Eddy is here, and that's his brother. And Tom and Rusty do not do the same things. Rusty is he's the mouthpiece.
As I said earlier, the handler.
The handler.
Yes.
He's the guy that brought the wine.
And
that's
then
all that matters.
We have the 1980 Estancia Cabernet out of the cellar. We got the 94 Tom Eddy with the VSR logo on the bottle. Why don't we do this? Let's do this one.
All right.
Oh, it was perfectly corked properly.
So we did a tasting yesterday of Tom Eddy Vertical. 91, 92, 93, 94, 95... 96, and then six more wines. And this is the 94 from the Dr. Crane Vineyard, which is in...
Who was Dr. Crane?
I don't know who the heck he was, but he was the owner of this property in St. Helena.
Wow.
And I believe Andy Beckstoffer owns it now. And my
That's
brother got
wine.
The grapes for a couple of years.
94...
Cabernet.
100%.
100% Cabernet.
The nose is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, all French oak. It says VSR. What does VSR stand for?
That's my brother's witticism, a very special red.
Okay. obviously conforms to federal regulations on that one.
Wow, this is unique. I don't know yet. I just took a taste.
It has a little bit of that medicinal characteristic, which I think is part of the old style of wine. This is a 94. This is a long time ago.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
You know, time goes by. You keep forgetting how long it is.
94 Cabernet.
Yeah. So this is...
What do you think?
I think it's in pretty good shape, considering it was open yesterday. Normally, these things don't show real well when they're that old, and they're open at 24 hours. But this one was sealed with a gadget here called a re-pour. I don't know anything about these. What is? Tell me about this, Rusty.
Yeah, this is a little concoction that a chemist developed and introduced it a couple of years ago. And what it does, if you open a bottle of wine and you don't want to finish it, you can put the re-pour in. It's just re-corking it, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some sort of a compound within the cork itself that robs oxygen from the bottle.
Yeah, it did a pretty good job of protecting it from further oxidation. It's already a mature wine, but it didn't get prematurely oxidized by being opened.
Well, I'll tell you, I took two sips. I don't want any more.
It would probably be better with some steak because it's got a little tannin left in it.
Yeah.
It's a little astringent. The other thing is that the aroma is a little bit on the medicinal side, which I think is common to some Napa Cabernets, some Cabernets from anywhere, for that matter. The problem we have in the warmer regions, the acid is not always in perfect condition. This one was a risky vintage because it was a little warmer year at 94. 95 was cooler, and so if Tom has any of his 95 left, I would imagine it's in better shape than this. The 1980 Estancia Cabernet that I brought is from Alexander Valley, and we'll open that in a few minutes. I think the secret to all these wines is that Cabernet does need time. There's just no two ways about it.
But 94? I mean, that's a lot of time.
Yeah, and this is even older. That's 80. So that's going to be 39 years.
Estancia.
Estancia, this is was part of the Franciscan operation. So we'll open that. Bernie, you're the guy. This is Steve Jackson. Bernie Hersey.
We've met.
Okay. Yeah, we have.
Yeah, good to see you.
Yeah.
Have a seat.
Thank you.
You get the bozo nose, we call them mic condoms.
It'll fit in my mouth, that one.
Man, Tom Eddy, his brother Rusty Eddy, are here from Orsi Family Vineyards. Before we get into this 1980 Estancia, is that a cab too?
This is 100% Cabernet from Alexander Valley. The reason I brought it, Steve, is that the ullage is a little low on the bottle. You can see how far this down. This is down from the top. It should have been
wow.
up there by the...
Yeah, it looks like it's been...
When I spotted it in the cellar, I said, wait a minute, we got to get to this stuff. It's not going anywhere but down.
Wow, here. Okay. Give us your history and the history of Orsi, the family.
My history? We don't have time for my history.
Yeah, we do. We're here till midnight.
Oh, Jesus. The history of the Orsi family in the wine business begins in about 1990 when... I purchased a piece of property in Healdsburg from the Dahlgren family, Mark Dahlgren and his mom. His dad had been a very prominent doctor or dentist, I don't recall, in Santa Rosa. And they ran a big cattle ranch up there behind basically a little west of the Madrona Manor on Mill Creek Road.
Wow.
So we purchased the property from them and... started to look into the possibilities of planting grapes instead of raising cattle. And we met with some resistance from a number of vineyard advisors because of the soil types and what have you. And I was tipped off by a fellow who is deceased now, a vineyard manager that was out in the area, to go see Mr. Cundy down in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
So I did. On the way home one day, we lived down in the Bay Area, stopped in to see Rich Cundy, and I said, you know, they advised me that this is not a desirable place to plant these grapes and so on. And he said, there's no undesirable place to plant grapes. There's a rootstock for virtually any setting you need.
Yeah, that's what we've always heard.
Yeah, so he said, do you have a soil profile? So we gave it to him, a little analysis we had done. And he came to the determination that a particular rootstock called 4453, which is native to France, and is and does well in the high magnesium soils that we have up and down this Franciscan schist here, would work. And to give it a try.
But how did you come up with Italian varieties, though?
Well, that's subsequent. He said the history. You want the Italians okay. who came up later. We ended up planting. I ended up having, according to Rich at that time, the largest planting in 92 or 3 of the 4453 rootstock in Sonoma County. And it did very well with Cabernet, with Chardonnay, Merlot. But I got tired of those varieties. Those are pretty boring. You know, you can find them just about anywhere you go. And I've always been fascinated by the fact when I travel to Italy or France, what few times we've been there, you can sit there and drink a bottle of wine, stand up, walk down the street with no problem, and have enjoyed the wine, the flavors, and accompanied your food, and you're just comfortable. You try to do that here with a bottle of wine, and you need an ambulance.
So we have one standing by in the parking lot, by the way.
Yeah, I saw it out there. Yeah, Giorgio's pizza truck. So in any event, on one trip, we went to the island of Ischia in Italy, which is off the coast of Naples, is where my mother was born. And
my family's from Naples.
Oh, there you are.
Sorrento.
Siamo fratelli.
Yeah, I
Allora.
See. Yeah. Vicario.
Vicarios. Yeah. There you are. Yeah, well, she was born on the island of Ischia, and then, of course, left in the early 1916 because things just got so bad there.
That's when my grandparents came here.
They just got terrible. They couldn't do it, so My grandfather came first. He ended up in the coal mines in West Virginia.
Wow.
And then he sent for them two or three at a time. And there was no wall crashing in those days. So he sent for them two, three at a time. And the family ended up all in the U.S. and then subsequently in Southern California and San Pedro because they were all fishermen. So they attracted to the fishing industry down there. In any event, when we went to Ischia, we encountered this wine, which I had my family. So after we had had about three or four bottles, we decided to try to find out what it was. And it turned out to be Biancolella di Ischia, which is a grape that, of course, the Ischia people say is native to there and nowhere else, and it's theirs, and any other one you find is an imitation. But it was very delightful wine. We found it to be great with all the different fishes and shellfishes and different fleshy fishes that we had for lunch that day. So I endeavored on a campaign to try to find some when I got back here. Now, of course, in the old days, you would have gone, made a few cuttings, shoved them in the suitcase, and brought them back. But if you don't want a German Shepherd to snap at you, you better not do that anymore. So I called a couple of nurseries, Duarte, which is a large commercial grapevine nursery, and Nova Vine over here in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
And it turned out that at Davis, they were studying two or three of these Biancolella plants to determine whether or not they had any characteristics that they might be able to identify for, you know, helping with mildew and botrytis and things like that, diseases and pest resistance and what have you. And so we were able to get some cuttings from there, graft them onto the rootstock and plant them. And that was about, oh, I don't know, five, 6 years ago now. And then I got into it, so we had Sangiovese, we planted Montepulciano, we have Negro Amaro, which is another great, delightful grape from Puglia. But to Puglia, we discovered Negro Amaro.
Is that a red?
It's a red.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if we brought any today for you to taste, but that's a very delightful one from southern Italy, from the heel of the boot.
That was good.
Now, yeah, this is amazing. Wine. Let's talk about this, Dan.
This is like lemon pie. I mean, it's got that lemon pie character because a very faint, crusty note to the end of that sort of a baked something or other, but the lemon stands out.
Is it between like a cab? I'm sorry, a Chard and a Sauvignon Blanc?
I'd hesitate to make any parallels to either one of those grapes because this lemon note is working with a verbena, the sort of lemon verbena component in the aftertaste.
The lemon is
delicious,
incredible.
Yeah, and it's absolutely unadorned. There's no oak here at all. I don't know if you...
This is all steel.
Yeah, this is delicious wine.
Bernie, what year is this?
This was the 18.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 18.
Brand new and fresh as a
daisy. 1 year ago, it was hanging on the vine.
This is delicious.
Yeah, beautiful wine.
The 94, Tom Eddy, I'm not a big fan of.
Don't worry about that. That's gone. It's history.
But this is amazing. And then we're going to taste a 1980 Estancia that Dan brought from his cellar. But right now, this talk some more about this, Bert.
Well, as I said, we paired it. Yeah, we didn't pair it. The restaurant, you know, that we went to offered it to us, and we tried it in Italy. And there's one or two people that make it in on Ischia, the island itself.
I hear it is gorgeous.
You got to go. If you haven't been there, forget about Capri. Forget about all those other places. You got to go to Ischia. You got to go there.
Yeah.
Check it out. You'll be met with a naturally formed mushroom rock when you enter the harbor. Mm-hmm. It was formed from a combination of volcanic violence and the sea. It sits right out there. And it's a great place. I mean, it's been discovered now, like most other places. Population's just too much population, so everything's getting discovered. But it was pretty neat. In the days when we first went, there were no automobiles, just golf carts.
Nice.
That's how you got around the
place.
This
comes across on the tongue a little bit the way a European wine would come across with just freshness, little bit of minerality in the finish, just bright and clean and crisp. And there's no, the alcohol may be a little bit up. That's where you're getting the sweetness from. But the alcohol is not very much in, it doesn't get in the way of the fruit.
No, this is just amazing. And unlike anything I've had in Sonoma County, really.
Yeah, I don't Napa, think I've ever had a wine similar to this.
No. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, Dan Berger, of course, and Orsi Family of Vineyards. I still can't get over this. Explain this, Vern.
The Biancolella.
Biancolella.
Is the grape that legend and lore has it is native to the, at least, the Neapolitan coast of Italy. Now, of course, all these Italian grapes are all cousins of each other, one
yeah.
way or another.
Just like all Italians
just
are.
Just like Italians. So, you know, if you do the, I've read different genealogies and there might be a little Greek in it, there might be a little French in it, et cetera. But basically, the native local populations of these villages are very possessive about these things and yeah. identify with them, and they talk about them. These bunches, these are the kind of a white grape that you'd see under a pergola that hang like a foot down from the ceiling of it. That's just a huge bunch.
Do we grow any of this here?
Well, I grow it, and I'm okay. not certain whether anybody else in California does. I've heard.
I suspect not.
Yeah.
Really?
I can't believe anybody's got Biancolella.
I don't think so. But who knows?
Boy, this is good.
It's delicious wine, but even better is the Fiano, I think. The Fiano is, here, give me your glass and you. This is a whole different ballgame here.
Right.
This is Fiano from the South. Is typically a little, I would call it harder. I think it has a little bit more tannin in it. This is more delicate. This is a little more evocative of that mineral component that has the sort of steel and slate in it.
Yeah, I think that soil that we have on the west side of Healdsburg, I think that makes these vines work pretty hard.
And God, the, this is good,
the
too.
Vine,
that's delicious.
The vine working hard, I think, you know, does a lot to preserve the quality of the fruit.
Fiano doesn't get better than this. I've tasted the ones from Italy.
Wow.
They don't get. I think they don't travel well.
No, they don't.
And I think you have to get it fresh and young. And this, you've got it right here in Sonoma County.
Right here.
Yeah.
You don't have to go any farther. No plane ticket, no waiting at the airport, no customs.
This is amazing. It's, wait a minute. I need new glasses. OrsiFamilyVineyards.com. Bernie Orsi and Mr. Rusty Eddie is with us. We'll talk more on California Wine Country. You got to love these guys, don't you?
Check this out.
Barry Herbst is here, the wine buyer for Bottle Barn, California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry, welcome back.
Thank you.
You guys have been busy. You did the rosé thing?
No, it's coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Oh, two weeks from
tomorrow.
There's
still tickets if anybody wants to come. There'll be at least 50 rosés. Last year we wound up with like 70 because I couldn't say no to anybody.
And it's at the Hyatt, right?
Hyatt, Vineyard Creek, 5 to 7:30. June 20th.
That's a huge
Thursday
deal.
Night.
We'll talk
more
about it.
Yeah, we'll have a band there. We'll be outside part of the time. So.
Yeah, cool.
Be nice.
Dan Berger, of course, my co-host on California Wine Country. Our guests today are Orsi Family Vineyards. Bernie Orsi is here, and what?
You got to dump this silly red that you got in your glass so you can try this next wine. It's called Chopatino.
Wait a minute. Now we got to talk about this 1980 thing.
Oh, well, the 80 is good. It's in good shape.
You brought this from your
cellar,
the 1980.
Yeah.
What is it?
He's
got to look at his phone to find out what's
shut
going
on. This down. Oh. 1980 Estancia Cabernet Sauvignon. From Alexander Valley.
1980.
It had a very low level of fill in the bottle, so therefore it was really risky. It's got that herbal component to it, which I really like for older wine.
Yeah.
Nice balance, nice structure. It's 39 years old, so you don't expect much, but it's got some nice flavors to it.
Well,
I'm surprised how good it was.
I could take another taste. Bernie, did you get some of this?
I did, yes.
What do you think?
Well, I just did the nose part.
He's taking a sip here. Is that okay? 1980.
Yeah. You know, we should have all been this well preserved.
It's not bad.
Next one.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. I'm not arguing. You know, it's one of those things. You find a low fill level in the cork. You just grab it, and you take it. You open it up, and if it's no good, you move on.
Now, when you say low fill, because you showed me that,
it was right there on the what they call the high shoulder. And high shoulder wines from 1980, well, you know, it will lose some volume in the bottle, and that's not a problem. It's just that it's going to happen. Generally, it doesn't oxidize because the headspace is going to be filled with whatever neutral gas they put in there when they put the cork in. So that sits on top and protects the wine from oxidation. So the wine's really not oxidized. It's just old.
Yeah. I have a lot of people, a lot of times the wine will last the cork. People will go to open the bottle and the cork falls apart, and they just assume the wine's dead. But yeah, it's happened recently a couple times with people.
This cork fell apart.
But it's perfectly fine.
It was fine.
Really?
Fine.
Put it through a cheesecloth or a coffee filter, and you're good to go.
Very
and the wine is actually not too bad, considering how old it is. Look, 39 years. Yeah. Nobody ever... This wine was $6 a bottle. Who's arguing?
This is this was made before I was born.
That's right. Well, there you go. Shocking. It was your birth year wine.
All right. Bernie Orsi and Rusty Eddie.
Eddie, you got that.
Is with us. What is this?
This is Chopatino. This is the third Chopatino we've had on this show. There isn't a show in the world that's had three Chopatinos
in their entire lives.
That's right. This is delicious wine. This is just fabulous.
Yeah, we still have this one in the store, too, by the way.
Really? And this is the 15.
Yeah, talk about the Orsi wines that you guys
had. Yeah, I had the whole lineup, and I just noticed before I came, I took a quick survey, and I just have the Alianico and Scopatino. That's it. So we're due for an order. Well, whites will be in.
He does all the work out in the hallway after the show, so you
we'll
guys
will be out there. Yeah.
There'll be more at Bottle Barn soon.
Yeah, I don't even go into Bottle Barn. I just cut all my deals here.
Exactly.
Hey, this is a grape variety that nobody knows anything about.
I love
it. It's delicious wine. It's like Zinfandel. If Zinfandel could do something like this, then we would have something. Zinfandel rarely performs this way. This is a really wonderful variety that nobody knows anything about. It's generally it's planted in cooler regions. And here you have a cool enough region, so you're still getting some of that black pepper component along with the blueberry and the blackberry. This is delicious wine. The tannins are not high. The alcohol is not high. The if there was any oak in here, you can't taste it.
Delicious. Rusty, what year is this?
This is a 15.
It is a 15.
Bernie, talk about this one.
Well, Chopatino, of course, the first thing that strikes you is very difficult to pronounce.
Yeah.
And I've always been kind of interested in difficult Italian names to pronounce. My wife's maiden name was Squatteguazza. So after you
good luck with that.
After you got past that one, it shouldn't be too tough to figure anything out after that, right? So Chopatino, I was introduced to by a fellow by the name of John Holdridge, who is an attorney and a vintner on his own right. And I went into his for the barrel weekend one weekend, and he says, come on, never mind this Pinot, and come on with me, let's go in the back. I got a barrel of something I want you to taste right out of. Happenstance, he had a relationship with Marcello at Gallo, who had out here in Laguna about 200 vines of Chopatino that he fooled around with and so on.
Chopatino.
And John had bought the vines from him, and he said, enjoy this. It's the last one I'm going to have. Why? So, well, they redeveloped the vineyard, and they tore them all out, the Chopatino.
That's
so sad. I tried it, and I said, just as you did, I was shocked. You see how different all this is from Cab, Merlot, Zinfandel? I mean, this is different. You bring a bottle of one of these wines to a friend for dinner, you can fool around talking for a while about something that's meaningful. You follow me? Right.
You got stories to tell.
You got something to talk about. Exactly.
Wow.
So
yeah.
What happened is I decided once again to try to find the cuttings, and we were successful. This was a tough one, too. But this one we got from Duarte down in, where are they, in Houston? They happen to have a plant or two, and they made enough cuttings for us to plant 300-400 vines. All of these varietals are extremely limited. I mean, we don't make more than 90-100 cases of any of these things per year. Mm. So, and that's fine, because whatever I can't sell, it's very comfortable to drink it all. You know?
Not a problem.
I like your attitude, Bernie.
Tell me why I love this wine.
It's soft. It has enough acidity to go with food, but it doesn't have a lot of tannin. And so when you look at it, it's dark. You think it's going to be brutal. It's not. It's easy to get in the mouth. It's easy to drink it all the way down. It doesn't have very much. I don't know what the alcohol is, but it doesn't taste like very much. What's the alcohol?
And a great finish.
A great finish. Oh, the finish is where the answer is, right there. 13.8 alcohol. This is really right in the wheelhouse of everybody who drinks wine. If a sommelier was going to suggest a wine to a person that they didn't know, and they're asking for a red wine, this is the wine to recommend, because it's got things going on in the aroma and in the taste you can't describe.
Any
red meat, including roast beef, which is really tough. Rare roast beef, tough, but this might work with it. Yeah, this is good.
Very silky.
You got some real flavors here.
Probably wouldn't even, you know, if you didn't have food with this, you'd probably find it wouldn't be painful to... To go to, you know.
Well, Julianne and I would have it on the patio until the bottle's empty. So.
Right. Yeah. Now, really easy drinking, but plenty of character. Really nice.
You need to have this at Bottle Barn, dude.
I've got this one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So okay. This is delicious.
What year is
this? Patino and
15.
Awesome.
15.
Wow. Unbelievable. Bernie, talk about how Orsi Family Vineyards and the Eddy guys. Reiterate that, because we got a lot of new people after 5 o'clock.
I had met Rusty's brother, Tom Eddy, many years ago. He was the head winemaker for Christian Brothers over in Napa.
Right.
And I was involved with St. Mary's College, and we did a tour one day up there, and Tom took us around. And since that time, we've had a fast friendship, and, you know, it's very tough to sell wine. So about 6 or 8 months ago, he was asking me how this little project of ours was, and I said, I got to tell you, Tom, it's pretty tough to sell this stuff, you know. It is tough to sell, no question. It's nothing to grow the grapes. Growing grapes is the easiest thing in the world. Making wine, you got to have a little bit of talent to do that.
Yeah.
But to sell it, you better know what the hell you're doing, or you're going to be in trouble.
Well, you know, and Sonoma State, as you know, has the Wine Business Institute now.
Correct.
The school, yeah.
Right.
I mean.
So Tom suggested I talk to Rusty, who is an empire builder and a brand builder. And so I figured, well, what the heck, why not? Right. So I consulted Rusty, and he took a look, asked us what our budget was, and he agreed to work for poverty level wages for a while till we see if he's any good at this.
You could be in radio.
Yeah.
And so
Bernie, not me.
That's how we. That's how it all happened, and that's how we got to where we are today. Tom's an old friend. I'm getting to know Rusty. He knows what he's talking about. So there you have it.
And your son is here.
Yeah, my son Mark.
Mark, are you involved in all this stuff or any of it? Or
yeah, he does the talking in this family. I really kind of the silent partner.
Yeah, well,
you can tell.
We've heard you talking quite often. We
well, you know, I
haven't heard a word
you.
From Mark yet.
No, he doesn't say much, but he's still in his apprenticeship. You know, he's still apprenticing. But it reminds me. I went to the, you know, I had a little problem, my ticker, and I went to the doctor. They couldn't figure out what was wrong, so they sent me to these different doctors to find out what was wrong, and we got to the neurologist. And, you know, these are very embarrassing things. You have to fill out these questionnaires, and every time they say, yeah. How much do you drink? I leave it blank. So we got into the doctor, and the only question he's interested in is how much do you drink. All the other ones about family history, he doesn't care about that stuff.
I've gone through that many times with Kaiser.
He's got an invasion of privacy. So he said, you know, you didn't answer this question right here. And I said, well, you know, what's the deal? And he said, well, how much do you drink? I said, depends what day you're talking about. Some days I drink nothing. Not one drop of wine crosses my lips. on a Saturday barbecuing in the afternoon and beautiful weather up the country, a couple of bottles could get lost pretty quick.
Sure.
Wouldn't even know what happened.
Right.
He said, couple of bottles.
There's nothing wrong with that.
He said, have you ever thought of getting any help? And I said, help? I don't need any help drinking this stuff.
Yeah, as long as the bottles are there.
Yeah.
I don't need any help.
Who needs help drinking this stuff?
I love this guy. We have to get
Tom
him back.
Waits, Tom Waits had a song long time ago, long-time Sonoma County resident. Tom Waits had a song. One of the lines was, I don't have a drinking problem, except when I can't get a drink.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a problem. Jesus.
Well, wine's made to have with food, and I overeat, so what the hell are you going to do?
Hey, salute. This is so cool. Bernie Orsi from the Orsi Family Vineyards.com. And this has been great, man. You've been in before, right? Because I've met you before.
Well, we met, but I don't think it was in this here? Environment. No, yeah, okay. It wasn't under a delayed telecast. Yeah.
We haven't been live on the air for 5 years.
Oh,
we're just hanging out here and having fun. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, of course. And Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. Bernie Orsi is here from Orsi Family Vineyards.
We have one red to go, which we haven't mentioned. It's the 2015 Barbera, or as they say in Italy, Barbera.
Barbera.
And Bernie, talk about Barbera.
Well, Barbera, as you know, is from the northern part of Italy, the Asti area. And cooler zone, cooler area, shorter days. But nevertheless, these vines have found quite a comfortable home right there in the hills of above Dry Creek, and seem to produce probably the most consistent of our vintages year to year to year. All the other ones have a little bit of here and a little bit of there. But this one, everybody that tries this says pretty consistently, and it's also our lightest producer next to our Nebbiolo.
Well, your winemaker has done a brilliant job, because there's a temptation always to harvest this late. And he never harvested it this late. This wine is just terrific. And the reason is that you've got cool nights. You want the acidity. You don't want to harvest it late where you lose the acidity.
Right.
Actually, that's interesting you make that point, because we start harvesting Pinot on the Russian River at the same time we start harvesting this.
Wow.
It's interesting you nail that point. That's exactly... It is, because, you know, being a red, you would think this would pass Chardonnay and some of the other, the Pinot Gris and whatnot. Nuh-uh. This thing is right there with Pinot Noir.
And your winemaker is to be credited for
that. Well, thank you. He'll appreciate that.
What year is this again?
15.
15. Jeez.
Delicious wine. Great tasty. Acidity. It's got everything going for it. If you serve Zinfandel with your pizza and you don't serve Barbera with your pizza, you're missing one of the key points of reference. Yeah.
This Biancolella. This is unbelievable. Filomeno's Block.
Yeah, well, that's named after my mother. See, that's
cool,
from Ischia, where my mother was from.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's good. I'm taking this home, so don't even look at it, Dan.
He's in love.
I'm making chicken tonight. That'll go good. Right?
It's
pour some in the dish.
Yeah. Killer with chicken.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
Right on. We got the Golden State Warriors game 3 at the Oakland Oracle Coliseum against the Raptors. A pregame coming up in just a couple minutes. A tip-off at 6. California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn. Give us another rundown of the rosé tasting.
Rosé tasting 2 weeks from tomorrow night at the Hyatt Vineyard Creek.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's kind of an indoor-outdoor venue that we get. We get the space where right outside is where they hold a lot of the weddings, a beautiful waterfall and wisteria. We'll have a band out there, a surf rock band. And we'll have probably 3 tables of rosé pourers out there, and then inside another 12 or 13 tables. So 50 or 60 rosés, very casual.
But and they need to jump on it because it sells out.
Yes. And
so where do they go to get the tickets?
Eventbrite. If you just search on Bottle Barn at eventbrite.com, you can just book your ticket right there. And it just goes right to us, and you're locked in. So
you're going to be with us next week?
I will be, yes.
How busy you are. Okay, we'll talk more about it and remind everybody next week. Rusty Eddy, great to see you, man.
Good to see you, Steve. Thanks.
It's so cool he came in. Bernie Orsi, OrsiFamilyVineyards.com. You are so cool, dude.
Thank you very much.
My paisan.
Pleasure to be here.
And, of course, Dan Berger. Grazie
tanto.
Prego.
Centani.
I always like saying centani as opposed to chin-chin.
Well, you're so young, you'd have a lot to look forward to.
Exactly.
Bless you, my friend.